with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the body, we'll bring the smoke.
Welcome back, you are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Barbecue Bob is out this week, and we've got Brad Ensing from Garrett's Appliance. But really, Brad is a super knowledgeable guy. And this is the time of year when a lot of us will go in the woods and look for morel mushrooms. And the Brad is in the smartest guy I know about foraging in the woods. So Brad, what I want to do is pick up where we left off, and that is, it is morel season. It's coming on us. You know, when it warms up and you've got moisture, that creates mushrooms in the woods. Give us a couple places, not physically, but like, where do you find those typically in like the setting?
The GPS coordinates to Bob and Bob's house is. So the biggest thing with morel mushrooms is waiting for the weather to get warm enough. So basically what you need is a soil temperature of 50 degrees for them to start growing. So normally south-facing slopes that get good sunshine are going to be the first place they start popping. Now, they have a lot of relationships with trees as well. So basically within certain trees, especially dying trees, not dead trees, but dying trees, and you'll find elm trees, apple trees, black cherry trees are all some of the places that morels love to be around. And again, as those trees start to die, they release different things into the soil that work really well with the mycorrhizal features of morel mushrooms. So think of the mycorrhizal as basically the root system, if you will, to a mushroom. And they have a lot of, I just want to use the technical term, saprophytic relationships. A lot of mushrooms have saprophytic relationships where they'll grow on only certain kind of trees or grow around certain trees because they're pulling nutrients off that tree. We were just talking about how I was a dork earlier. By the way, I have a Facebook page of my own called Butterflies, Moths, and Caterpillars of Michigan.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe,
a little
bit. Well, I'll give you that, though, but hey, you know what? You're a wealth of knowledge, buddy, and this is why I like you here, because there's a lot of the tomfoolery that happens on this show every week, and every once in a while, we got to dial it in and maybe teach these listeners a little bit.
A little something.
And that's why you're here, because you know that's not what I'm doing.
So what you're going to find with morels, and one of the biggest things you'll find with morels is when you find them, they're one of what we'd call a beginner mushroom, where they're pretty easy to identify. That's why it always kills me with the Gyrometra species. They're kind of similar looking, but I think people get so excited at this time of the year that they're seeing a mushroom pop up in the ground. It's kind of wrinkly looking. It actually, in my opinion, looks like a brain, but morels will be hollow on the inside, up the stem. Now, there are also Verpa species that are called half-free morels that, you know, again, just look online. And all morels and all mushrooms, for that example, they're not like the white button mushrooms that you're buying at the grocery store, right? Portobello's. You want to cook them all. Morel mushrooms will make you sick as well if you eat them raw. You have to cook them, and it removes a little bit of toxicity from the plant. Now, again, there's always someone out there, well, my grandpa's uncle's first cousin used to eat them raw all the time.
Yep.
You do whatever the heck you want.
Right.
Just don't say that I told you what to do.
Right.
Because I don't want to be responsible for the medical bills.
So they're hard to find. They grow in the same place every year, and then they may scatter a little bit. My family, I haven't picked a morel mushroom in 20 years, but when I was growing up, we did, because my dad was really into it, and it was something I could do with him.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
But he was always, when he picked them, he had them in like a mesh bag.
Mm-hmm.
So that the spores?
Correct. The spores can distribute as you're walking out.
Okay.
Now, again, the spores, of the mushroom, which is how they reproduce, there's some pluses and minuses to that as well, because you can have your mesh bag, but if they're not falling on the right type of soil, nothing's going to happen.
I see.
So when I do find morels, which seems to be very far and few, because the season, at least the beginning of the season, is pretty short here.
About when? Are we close?
So, they've been coming up for about the last 2 weeks. Blacks and half-free morels tend to be the first ones that we see coming up around here. And as we progress into
June, West Michigan.
In West Michigan. Okay, yep, yeah. I've seen posts throughout the state. You know, as we proceed, there will be some different Morchella species or Morel species that will start to pop. Some of the larger ones, those are the ones that are easier to find. So the black Morels and a lot of those right now, I mean, you might see them, they're 1.5 to 2 inches tall. Well, when you've got a ton of leaf litter on the ground, it kind of makes them hard to see. Now, there's always some sucker that walks into like some patch of 200, and I just sit and mumble under my breath very angrily because
right.
I walk in the woods a lot. My beautiful daughters, Alexis and Riley, they like to come with me, and we'll go out for a walk, hike, and I'm just, my eyes don't look at like the trees. My eyes are like fixed on the ground everywhere I go because I'm always looking for something, whether it's an insect or something that I can eat. That's just the way I'm wired. But it's amazing when you're looking around what you'll find. Oyster mushrooms right now still out there, especially after we get rain. Exidia resizer or Exidia species, which is a jelly fungus, which I store up and I put into soups, which is just, again, something cool that not everybody does, but taking advantage. You know, you get so many people in Michigan that go out and deer hunt or turkey hunt.
Right.
We're in spring turkey season right now, or maybe they small game hunt. Well, this is just a way that you can go out in the woods all the time, enjoy the woods, and still be hunting for something that might not have the same cholesterol level that the meat that you're harvesting is. And
yeah.
For all the doctors out there, it's not too bad to get some greens in you.
Right.
And they supply a lot of nutrients that you don't find anywhere else in the natural kingdom. So a lot of the mushrooms out there have a lot of anti-cancerous, things that go along with them. So they're not only, fun to find, they're delicious to eat, but they have some health benefits as well.
So from a layman's side, it seemed like that when my mom and dad, or my dad specifically, we'd go out and we'd get morels, we'd come back and my mom would soak them in water. So is there a cleaning process we need to do? I'm not saying hers was right, but that was just what I remember.
There's an area of contention with all these guys and gals that hunt mushrooms. And a lot of people will say, don't soak them in water. It can make mushrooms slimy. But a lot of people will use a little brush, like almost like a paintbrush, to clean off any dirt or debris off mushrooms. I will soak sometimes. I will cut the mushrooms in half a lot of the times because you'd be amazed how many snails, slugs find their way into the middle of the mushrooms. And I just like to find that and pick that out before I eat them. But
Gyrometra. Sounds good. I think I'd like
delicious.
That too.
Gyrometra corphi, which is one of that group that
she lived next
about.
Door to me when I was
Did
growing
you?
Up.
I'd like to meet her.
Right.
And Gyrometra brunea are two both semi-edible species. When I say semi-edible, I always parboil them at least once before I eat them because there is talk that there might be some toxicity to them. But those are ones that they have a lot of folds and creases in them, so bugs get in them pretty easy. Morels, not so bad. Oyster mushrooms, not so bad. Chicken of the woods, hen of the woods. I mean, all those mushrooms that are pretty staple around this area. You want to clean them well, whether it's doing a soak in some water or taking a brush. Just make sure you're getting the dirt out of them.
Yeah.
Nobody likes to chew on dirt when you're eating something.
Well, yeah.
A little crispy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Who would, right?
Yeah.
So, let's talk about, we've found them. We're fortunate enough. We've got got them cleaned up now. So in the next segment, what I want to do is besides this wonderful quiche, I'm interested in how you use the variety of mushrooms and what kind of dishes that you make. Are you eating them by themselves, or are you always integrating them into some other recipes? And maybe we could touch on a couple of those.
Absolutely.
All right. You're listening to Grilling Guys. We're foraging for things to talk about, and it seems that we've come up with some great stuff. So stick with us. We'll be back.